This is DW News live from Berlin. Tonight, the details of China's crackdown on its Muslim minority Uyghurs. This leaked document exposes China's big lie that the Uyghurs are simply attending vocational training camps. A DW investigation seems to confirm what the world has long suspected. Uyghurs are being imprisoned simply because they are Muslim. Also coming up, a fresh bid to stop the brutal civil war in Libya. The conflict is still awash with weapons. Now the European Union has agreed to renew a naval mission enforcing the UN arms embargo. But will it be enough? And purring their way to victory, the cats, that is, will meet some truly fancy felines at Vietnam's first national meow cat show. I'm Brent Goff. It's good to have you with us. A document leaked to DW News seems to expose China's mistreatment of its Muslim minority Uyghur people. The Chinese government claims that camps housing Uyghurs are simply giving them skills trainings. But the United Nations believes as many as 1 million Uyghurs are being held in camps in the Xinjiang region in the west of the country. Chinese authorities claim the people are there out of their own free will, and that they're receiving vocational training to help fight extremism. But DW News and its German media partners, NDR, WDR, and the German daily newspaper, the Süddeutsche Zeitung, they all have evidence that contradicts China's narrative. It seems to confirm what many have long suspected, that China is putting Uyghurs in prison based on their religion and their culture. Naomi Conrad of DW's investigative unit reports.
I would never have found out that my sister is in a camp without this list.
It's a detailed surveillance document. It's extremely likely that this is authentic.
Yes, it's dangerous, but someone should tell the world what's going on there.
Istanbul. These men are Uyghur Muslims from China. Back home, they could be imprisoned for the simple act of praying. I quickly come to realize that each one of them has a story of loss.
The fascist Chinese government wants to eliminate the Uyghur people of Xinjiang, the entire population of Xinjiang, right in front of the eyes of the world.
We asked them to raise their hands if they have family members who've been imprisoned in China's Xinjiang province, where most Uyghurs live. Across Xinjiang, there are dozens of camps holding up to 1 million Uyghurs. Let's take a closer look at one of them. This is a re-education camp next to a prison. We identified watchtowers and high walls. There are countless camps like this one. The Chinese government claims they are voluntary vocational training centers designed to fight Uyghur extremism. But we received a document which shows that China is targeting Uyghurs based on their identity and religion. It lists hundreds of detainees and the reasons for their detention. Uyghur academic Abdul Wali Ayub received it from a source and took a huge risk sharing it with us.
January 8th, I received the phone call, like it's messenger call, and he said that stop doing this and we can reach you wherever you are. Yes, it's dangerous, but someone should take the danger. Someone should speak up. Someone should tell the world what's going on there.
The document doesn't have any stamp or signature. We showed it to several experts who agreed that it is almost certainly an official text.
It contains an enormous amount of extremely specific data from one very small community in Xinjiang, and that it would take an immense amount of effort and access to publicly unavailable data to fabricate a document like this.
In this neighborhood in Istanbul, where many Uyghurs live, we met one woman whose sisters are mentioned on the list. Utsiniza Tohti knew some family members had been imprisoned, but it shocked her when she found out that her youngest sister was listed in the document.
I was really sad. For days, I couldn't sleep. I was really shocked and sad about her arrest.
China says it's fighting extremism, but Tohti says her younger sister wasn't religious. Her only crime, she had too many children.
I heard that the conditions in prison are unimaginably bad. They don't even have enough food to eat.
She doesn't know if her relatives have been released. Like countless other Uyghurs, they have been caught up in China's all-encompassing anti-terrorism drive.
And joining me here in the studio now is my colleague Naomi Conrad from DW's investigative unit. So, Naomi, let's talk about this document here. I mean, what exactly does it show?
It's a really chilling document because it shows that basically it doesn't take much for you to be whisked away. You can have a beard that's too long, wear a veil, or maybe even it's just your wife who wears a veil. It also shows how all-encompassing the surveillance system in China is. The authorities know whether you have relatives abroad. They know if you've talked to them. They know how often every day you pray. I mean, it's all pervasive, and that's what this document shows. So it is really a pretty chilling document.
Now, we're talking about this document. How do we know, how do we verify the authenticity of this document?
That was a job that took us several weeks, actually. I mean, we received these 140-odd pages in Chinese, so the first step was to translate them into English. Then we shared the document with various leading scholars who all agreed that it was most likely authentic. And then the next step was to find relatives of the people on the list. We obviously couldn't talk to those people because that would have put them in danger, and some people are still imprisoned. Mm-hmm. So we managed to find several relatives, talk to them. They corroborated what was in the list. Mm-hmm. And then we also tried to locate and verify the camps that the people were sent to that are mentioned in the list. We managed to verify two of the camps and also find the most likely location of the two other camps. So we do believe that it is most likely an authentic document.
And what have we learned about the fate of the detainees? I mean, we know that the details are unprecedented. What happened to them?
We know that some people were released, but they weren't released into freedom. They were released back into their community, where they're most likely very, very closely monitored. Some people might not even be allowed to move around freely. We also know that some of the detainees were released into labor camps. That could be, those could be factories in their villages. They could also be factories in camps, but they're most likely forced labor in factories. So, yes, we know that even if they were released, they're very far from being free.
Have we had any official reaction from the Chinese government?
We actually managed to talk to the Chinese foreign minister when he was here in Berlin last week, so let's take a look at that.
Okay. No one has seen any kind of concentration camp in Xinjiang. No one has seen any persecution. The only thing to see was people of various ethnicities in Xinjiang living together harmoniously. These facts demonstrate that the so-called concentration camps, the so-called 1 million, are 100% rumors. They are complete fake news.
Fake news.
Fake news. I mean, of course, that's the line we've been hearing now for years.
Absolutely. It didn't come as a surprise. I mean, they've been calling these camps voluntary for quite a while, and it was very unlikely that they'd turn around and actually tell us the truth. So it didn't come as a surprise, but it's just, you know, the narrative that we've been hearing for quite a while.
You know, Naomi, it's one thing to expose something that's going on in China. It's another thing to affect change. I mean, what are the chances that the plight of the Uyghurs will be improved at all by the world knowing what's going on?
Well, a lot depends on governments, right? I mean, the members of the European Parliament not that long ago called for targeted sanctions, exactly what the United States did. But we have to remember that European and also German companies are doing business in Xinjiang. I mean, Volkswagen is producing cars there.
Right.
So, you know, the German industry and the European industry also has a very important say in this, possibly.
Yeah. Naomi Conrad, as always, Naomi, we appreciate your reporting. Thank you.
The European Union has agreed on a new naval mission to monitor the UN embargo on arms shipments to Libya. The country is riven by the standoff between fighters loyal to the UN-backed government in Tripoli and rebel groups which control much of the rest of the country. The civil war has been raging for 6 years now, and Libya is awash with weapons despite that UN embargo. The new EU military patrol will replace the current naval mission, which is known as SOFIA.
Following discord over measures to help stabilize Libya, EU foreign ministers have reached an agreement. Critics were outspoken. Austria wanted to block a new naval mission for fear it would encourage more migrants to attempt crossing the Mediterranean as they try to make their way to Europe.
First, the SOFIA mission in the Mediterranean off the coast of Libya will be stopped. Secondly, we've agreed that we want a military mission and not a humanitarian one, and it will focus on the arms embargo.
The task of the original EU naval mission SOFIA was to fight arms trafficking and people smuggling, but it frequently rescued refugees at sea. The new mission will involve aerial as well as naval assets, primarily in the East Mediterranean. That's where there's more arms trafficking and fewer refugee routes. The naval mission will be ended if ships continue to take in migrants.
It's fundamentally important that the European Union acknowledges its responsibility to take action and play a role in ensuring the arms embargo will no longer be violated. That's what's required to end the civil war in Libya.
But it's not clear if this new plan will bring the desired results. The details of the mission have yet to be worked out.
Authorities are scrambling to trace passengers who disembarked from a cruise liner in Cambodia after one woman later tested positive for the coronavirus, COVID-19. Around 2,000 people were cleared and allowed to disembark from the Westerdam liner in Cambodia after being denied entry at several ports, but one tourist then traveled on to Malaysia, where she tested positive for the virus. Officials worry that many others may have been infected and have since dispersed around the globe. Vietnam has hosted its first ever national cat show in the capital city, Hanoi. You know, it was a chance for cat lovers to show off their finest felines, but sometimes, this may not surprise you, it's hard to tell who was preening themselves the most, the cats or their owners. Take a look.
Getting fancy can feel so good. Of course, one must look perfect to impress the humans. From top to tail. Around 60 felines are competing for Vietnam's best in show. But it's the judges who must keep their attention.
Vietnam is a country where more and more quality cats are being groomed. This is an event for cat owners to show their love for their cats and how they take care of their cats.
Cat ownership is on the rise in Vietnam. The communist state's roaring economy has padded out a growing middle class. Loving owners spend big to keep their pets feeling fine.
I've been getting my cat ready since Friday. I took him bathing and for a spa and grooming.
Seven lucky kitties earn a spot in the winner circle for best in their class. But only one can be top cat today. This blue-gray beauty got the edge, but it seems just by a whisker.
Business News is up next with my very unfinicky colleague, Rob Watts.